Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Well, after a very strange week for Aztecs basketball, Matt Scraby and Randy Holcomb are back with you on the Believe Aztecs Hoops podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Believe has a podcast for every one of your teams and the only place with a show for your favorite team. We believe in our teams, and if I always run over that. We believe in our teams. Like, dude, there's a period in between team and we. So I'm going to work on that going forward, Randy. Thanks so much for being here. Last week, we had a scheduling snafu on my part, and then the Aztecs got two games canceled by New Mexico. So we'll get into that. But we skipped last week. Sorry about that. But we're back this week. Randy, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Now, this whole Aztecs-New Mexico series is a little strange because there's lots of conspiracy theories and there's lots of theories, and then there's maybe one fact. But last week, the Aztecs were set to take on New Mexico, and they were about to fly out. It was like an hour before their flight or something. New Mexico contacted San Diego State and said, "Hey, guys, we're canceling the games this week. Don't travel. Don't go anywhere." So, really, what the big hubbub on social media is that New Mexico is taking two pretty easy games out of San Diego State's pocket and two supposedly easy wins out of San Diego State's pocket while they need all the games they can get going into the tournament. So I'm not sure what really happened. I'm thinking that New Mexico just they were tired or something. I don't know. But they canceled their series and that's it. So, I mean, I know that you didn't play during a COVID day, but it's strange, right?
Right. I definitely think it is, but I think it's twofold. I think that for their program, if I'm not mistaken, they are in next to last place, right? Currently.
Yeah. They're terrible. Sorry, New Mexico. They're terrible.
Like one in whatever, right?
One in 11, maybe.
Yeah. So I think that I don't know if you really want to.
Well, they're 5-11 overall. They're 1-11. It looks like in conference play.
Okay. So I don't know if you necessarily want to, it may be a good idea for them to cancel their program because they were going to take another beating if they played us, especially with the way we're shooting basketball, with the way we're shooting. I don't know if they just wanted to, you know, maybe we could play on a video game or something. We can get on and play some live or something along those lines. But
yeah, that would be fun actually.
In a real game, I think that us playing them, and this is what I was telling you early on about it being worth it and not being worth it to play some people, because if it's not worth it, it doesn't help our RPI to go down there and just beat them up and then then possibly somebody get sick and then it reverberates through the team. So now the entire team has to quarantine over, you know, playing somebody that doesn't help us at all, probably hurts us more than helps us. Right.
That's interesting. I haven't actually heard it put that way, to be honest. Like working at sports radio in San Diego, I thought I heard it all, but I hadn't heard it until then, because a lot of people were saying, including myself, that this is a major blow to the Aztecs' chances for a tournament spot. Cause right now they're on, I believe, according to some of the different bracketologists out there, they're right there on the inside looking in inside looking in. And if they don't have these games, then it just makes them harder with the RPI. But I that's very interesting. I hadn't thought about that way of, is it really worth going all the way to Lubbock, Texas, which is where New Mexico is playing this year, because New Mexico, the state, has made it so difficult for them to play in their own state. So there's just a lot of different things, but interesting that you say that. Like, so you're thinking that these two potential wins just can be made up somewhere else by the Aztecs.
I do. I think that if you're going to play anybody, I would prefer, I think that it'll look more advantageous to play against Utah State and Colorado State, you know, three, four, five times, six times, whatever that would be, right? As opposed to playing against, I don't think that that a board of basketball minds is going to look at the two wins against New Mexico and say, hey, let's put them in a tournament because they won. You know what, man? They won these two games, man. Let's stick them in. That's the kicker, right?
Yeah, no, those were the games that put it over the top for us.
Right, right. And then the flip side is that what if we do go? What if they come to, you know, we meet them in Lubbock and they get us in the game, right? They you know, then what?
That could really derail things. Sorry to cut you off, but that when you're looking at it and the judges are saying, okay, they beat these two teams, whatever, they should have beat those two teams. Now, when they look and they see a loss, then they're like, ooh, should we even have them in a tournament?
Right. Like, I don't know if we're making the right decision. So it's like, this is a year that we can really pick and choose our fights. What is somewhat considered to be a negative or a sort of a downtrodden season could actually turn out to be a very good one. I mean, if you just play very good teams, but you play more potent teams, but fewer of them, right? That'll help us more, especially with I think we have four losses at this point.
So 13-4.
Right. So, and two of the three of those I know came against pretty good teams. I forget who the fourth was. I know we had,
well, they lost to Colorado State. They can't lose to themselves. I mean, what an idiot I am. They lost to BYU. They lost to Colorado State, and they lost twice to Utah State.
Okay, so none of those are real bad losses, right? You know what I mean? You definitely don't want to compound those by adding, you know, a team that's one and whatever in conference play, and we take the trip and all the other things surrounding COVID, right? So we can, if we're going to play, let's just play against teams that are really, really, really freaking good, right?
And yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, and you know what? We talked earlier in the year about the loss to Colorado State where they were up by 26. It was one of the worst losses on a CBS network game. But really, when you look at it now and you see down the road, Colorado State is a good team. They're 14-4. So that loss, like coming into the year, Colorado State wasn't picked to be anything really in the conference.
Right.
So that's why I overreacted now that I'm looking at it. But a lot of people did overreact. They said, oh man, this is a terrible loss to Colorado State. This team's terrible, blah, 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 blah. But then you look down the road and Colorado State's beating everyone, and they're beating everyone handily, and they're coming back and they're beating BYU and Boise State. So they're a good team, and the second game in that series looks a lot better now because you know what Colorado State is.
Right, right. Well, I think that the other thing too is that if you lose to someone, you're always rooting for them to win out almost, except when you play again, right?
Yeah.
And Colorado State, I mean, to come back from a 26-point loss, I can't even remember a time where I was a part of a game where I came back from 26. If we're down 26, man, we're packing it up. We're packing it in, man. We're folding the chairs. We're snatching the plug back the wall. You know, so, you know, we
talking about what you're going to do that night.
Right, right, right. We're completely checked out mentally. For them to come back in their game, and that may have actually been the jump start of their season, right? That particular game.
Could be, yeah.
Been the one that they needed. But be it as it may, the reality is that they are a very good team, and that loss that we have against them now is not nearly as bad. And you don't, again, in a shortened season and a season where you can get games canceled all over the place, might as well play against the most heat that you can play against, as opposed to playing against just everybody if you can help it.
Yeah, they did have a series of games against Colorado State, or well, I should say they had it postponed earlier in the year, and then they moved it to the January. They moved it to like a month later. So it's just all about timing, I think. And I think things happen for a reason. And you, like you said, that could have jump-started Colorado State to their great year, and it could have woken San Diego State up from a like a. It could have shown them like we're not as good as we think we are, because we lost up 26, and there's time is running out in the Mountain West regular season play, because there's only six more games left for San Diego State, and then you got the tournament. So things are very important from here on out. New Mexico, like you said, it would have been nice to get two wins, but really, what's the risk in everything? So they can take on San Jose State twice here at home, then they go to Fresno State twice, and then they're back at home to finish up Mountain West play against Boise State, which is going to be a massive series for seeding in the Mountain West Conference tournament. But I like what I see going into the stretch run of this for the Aztecs. I mean, San Jose State, they're a beatable team. Fresno State is always tough, but they're beatable as well. Boise State's going to be tough. They got to go. I'm just going to call it. I say they have to go at least 5-1 the rest of the way for them to feel good about themselves going into the tournament. I think a 3-3 split, not going to look good, not going to feel good. But they do have Matt Mitchell back as well, so they're all forces are ready to go for the rest of the year.
I'm in agreement with you. I think that, you know, you look at that schedule. Fresno State is in the middle of the pack, middle lower part of the pack. They're going through whatever they're going through. That those two wins, I think, are going to be the most critical. Boise State pretty good. I think they're like third or something like that.
They're 14-4 on the year.
So they're third in the conference. Are they third?
Yes,
they're
third. Yes.
So that, you know, they're pretty good, right? But we're pretty good too. You know what I mean? So I think that, like you said, I think that to somehow figure out a way to be focused enough to win both of those games puts us in a very unique situation for the tournament. Not just the conference tournament, but the NCAA tournament. Those four games, I think, are going to be the critical ones that are going to help decide our fate in terms of being an at-large bid in the tournament. Yeah, I know we're going to get to it in a second, but the way we've been shooting the ball as of late has been crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's been crazy, and I want to say this too. Dutch is my man, but I'm very real, right? And mm-hmm. I've been very I don't want to say I've been very critical of Dutch, but I'm always when I talk to him in person, or when I leave him messages and things of that nature, we have very real conversations, and I say what's on my mind, and I want to publicly say that the way he's gotten this team to grow, right? As a if you look at this team as a plant, right? The way he's gotten this team to grow over this year is almost like a bamboo, because the team is growing so fast. What started as a very defensive team that could not score has turned into a very offensive team that can score. And how he and his staff have been able to do that is nothing short of a miracle. I don't think I've ever seen a team go from not being able to score, period, or being at, scoring 40 points a game to scoring 90 and 87 and shooting the ball with the confidence that they're shooting the ball with, right? So I do want to tell him and everybody listening that he's done a phenomenal – he and his staff have done mm-hmm. a phenomenal job of giving the team a new identity, and one that is more fun to watch. It wasn't fun to watch those earlier games. You know what I mean? Like, I love entertainment at the end of the day. It's still got to be entertained. So to be able to watch their games now and have fun watching it, as opposed to watching those grind out football games that were going on, looked like
the 51-50s.
Yeah, man, it was tough to watch that stuff. You know, it's tough to evaluate that stuff, right? But now, the kid Gomez is just shooting. I mean, he's catching the ball 25 feet out, 30 feet out, and he's just hoisting it up there. 35 feet out, he's hoisting it up. We have more than just Shackle now, so it's harder to guard us. And I know you're going to get into that, but I just want
to let's go. Let's go. Let's get into it. No, that's perfect segue to what's going on with the team. In the conference, real quick, I'll just set it up. Utah State's number one. They're 11-2 in the conference. Colorado State is number two, 11-3. And then Boise State, 10-3. And then San Diego State is fourth at 7-3. So because of those two lost games, they're behind the pace a little bit, but their winning percentage keeps them there. But their shooting, you're absolutely right, has been off the charts recently because they went into Utah State. They scored 45 and then they scored 59 in back-to-back losses. Then they come out of Utah State and something changes, and they came out of Utah State, and even, you know, with Matt Mitchell injured, they still were able to put up a ton of points. They beat Air Force 98-61. They almost scored 100 points, which I can't remember the last time that ever happened in Aztecs basketball. Then they beat Air Force 91-59. So those are both, if my math is correct, over 30 point wins. Then Wyoming, they won by 30, 87-57. And then again, Wyoming, they scored another 98 points. So they scored 98 points twice in four games, which is incredible. And Matt Mitchell in that second game when they scored 98, he had 26 points. So he's back. He's ready to go. But how does that happen? How does it turn around that quickly where all I'm looking at the rest of the schedule, the highest score that they've had the whole year was St. Catherine, which was 83. And we knew that they could probably score 200. But other than that, they scored 80 against Arizona State. I just don't understand how it can just turn on just like that.
I don't know. I think that maybe there was a – well, I'm going to say there's a couple things at play. First, I think that their practices they had to have been geared for the defensive side of the ball. I would have said that the majority of watching them play, right, the majority of their practice was geared toward the defensive side of the ball. And I think after playing Utah State, seeing what they do, what they can do, that having a good defense is great. But you got to be able to play both sides of the ball. I think that there was a shift right there in that moment in time. And since then, they've been shooting, you know, pretty well. That Air Force series that they played, I mean, they came out.
They crushed them.
And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. It didn't look very natural, the way that they shot the basketball. It looked like they were just a team that on this particular day, they just got hot. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Watching them play, though, what happens though in sports, or and I'm gonna speak about basketball because that's the thing that I know best.
You
start off not very confident, but if you see a couple shots go in, the next thing you know, it becomes part of your DNA. And in the Wyoming series, it looked like they were a team that had been shooting all year, but I think it started with that particular game against Air Force where it didn't look quite natural.
Yeah.
Now watching them play. Now, I mean, guys are just catching and shooting, and it's causing defenses to crowd them or get closer to them, which is opening up driving lanes that they didn't necessarily have before when they played. Yeah. Right? Guys are being able to get to the basket, not just the guy that has the ball or the shooter in question, but the opposing teams cannot leave other players on the floor because, you know, guys will find them for a 3-point shot. So everybody's hugged up to their guy, which is allowing Mensa to, you know, catch lobs and get putbacks and stuff like that. And then dribble drive is 1,000 times easier than it was before. And now when you're scoring on offense, you don't necessarily need as much defense. And it's way more fun, at least what I was told, to play offense than it is to play defense, right?
At least you were told. You played under Steve Fisher. He was all about defense. Defense.
Yes, he was.
And defense, as they say in the NFL, defense wins championships, but it's still fun to go for 400 yards in a game. That's still fun, yeah, too.
Ain't that the truth?
But with the Aztecs right now, they are you know who? Let's talk about him real quick. Lamont Butler, freshman, he has come in and he has been great for the team in the last maybe four games. And Dutch has put him out there. Dutch has given him time to develop. He is averaging now 12 minutes a game, which is on the way up because he didn't play much in the beginning of the year. And he's only averaging 4 points a game. But let me tell you about his game logs, because they have just been going up and up and up. He had 13 against Utah State. Then he had 13 again against Wyoming, and he had 11 against Wyoming. But what he's doing is he's being efficient and he's not turning over the ball. He had a tough day against Air Force where he turned over the ball 6 times. But other than that, he's not really doing anything that's going to be hurting the team. And then we've been talking about free throws all year long, and he's making his free throws. The team is also starting to make some free throws. They're up to 71% from free throw, and they're almost at, for the year, this is incredible. They're up 39.7% from three and 46.5% from the field. So they're almost making half their shots that they're taking, which is crazy.
If they continue to play that way, we're going to be very, very difficult for anybody to beat, right? I think, you know, I think if we saw, and I don't want to jinx it, but I would bet money that if we saw Utah State in the tournament, we beat them, right? Because of if we shot it this way, at this, very seldom does a team as a whole shoot 39% from three, right? And then turn around and for a team as a whole to almost shoot 50% is even more crazy. I think, what did you say there? 46%, I think you said?
40, almost 47.
So almost 47%.
If we round up, 47.
So I want people to think about this. The very best players that we've seen in basketball, right? Some of the very best players that we've seen in basketball shot the ball at about 50% clip. So the Michael Jordans and the Larry Birds and the a lot of the guys from the 80s, LeBron James and, you know, a couple others like him, Dwayne Wade in his heyday. Today, you have Zion Williams shooting the ball at a 50-plus clip, right?
Yeah.
If you can get a team that to shoot around that number, right, they're going to be very, very different. Those are good players and good teams that can – or great players and great teams that can do that. So, again, knowing that, Dutch is, you know, I didn't know if he could do this, but he has. And he, you know, he has my respect for sure, because I didn't believe that he can get this team. I thought he was going to have to go out and recruit players to come in there. But clearly he's had some staff meetings and told them, hey, listen, we need to get some shots up every day. We need to do some competitive shooting. We need to build confidence in our guy. And he's been able to do that, man. That's pretty doggone unique, man. That doesn't happen every day.
That's a good way you put it, because a lot of coaches will stick to their guns. This is my system. I'm not going to stray from it. And Dutcher was like, hey, I need to figure something else out. And so for someone to make an in-season adjustment like he has, it's pretty ballsy, I'll say, because you don't know that it's going to work. And it's working now, and guys are having more fun. They're scoring a lot of points, and it's not bad for the marketing of the program either. Now that they're scoring 98 points, and who knows what they can do in the tournament if they get there, then you're getting guys from, I don't know, that are sitting in Montana that are like, ooh, San Diego State doesn't look so bad to go play now, because they're scoring the ball. Like Nathan Mensah has a 61% field goal percentage this year, and he does take a decent amount of shots. That's really good.
Yeah. Oh, listen, that is phenomenal. What's happening is that the floor is so wide open for him now. You have to step up on shooters. So if he sets high pick and rolls and he rolls hard to the bucket, there's nobody there to pick him up, right? And he can, you know, dunk the ball in. Playing one-on-one on the block, you can't double team him now because he can find open guys. I mean, there's so many advantages to being able to do the most fundamental thing in basketball, and that's shoot it. If you can shoot, you know, everything kind of opens up, and it makes the entire game easier, you know. And he's been playing really good. And I'm going to say this about him too. I want more for him, right? I want him to play. He should be a kid that is as good as the kid at Utah State, Quayle. He should be as good as that kid. That player's older than he is, but nobody cares. At least I don't. You know what I mean? You got to perform, right? You got to perform. So I think he's been playing great. I think they need more from him. Everybody else is playing, doing what, including Matt, man. Matt's phenomenal, man. Matt is a really, really good. And I think Matt is probably one of the top 10 Aztec players all time. If we take
away
and stuff like that, I think he's one of the top all time. I think that if you think about the list of guys, Michael Cage, Kawhi, myself, a couple of the others that Marcus Slaughter and a couple of the others that come to, I don't want to leave anybody out, man. So if I left you out, man, don't jump in my DMs.
This is all organic. He didn't have time to prepare. So yeah, he's not slighting you or anything.
Right. But when I think about that list of players, I would be hard pressed to find 10 that have had a more productive career. Xavier would be on that list too. I don't want to leave him.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave him off that list as I think about it, because he is really, really productive. He's really, really productive as a basketball player. It ain't the sexiest thing going, man. He puts the ball in the basket, and that's really all you can ask.
Yeah, he's been such a consistent player for the Aztecs since his freshman year. He was a true freshman came, and I'm looking at his career stats right now. He's played 33 games, 34 games, 32 games, and then 15 games this year. Obviously, he's not done with this season, but he's went 10 points, 10 points, 12 points, 15 points. But when you're looking through his career, his three-point percentage goes from 35 to 42. His free throw goes from 76 to 83. And he just gets better across the board. Right. And that's all you need from a college player, absolutely, especially of his pedigree, is to just be there on the court to play, and you're going to put up your numbers.
100%. I mean, he's been really, really impressive, especially not to have been a heralded player, right?
Yeah.
Malachi was very good last year, and it showed. He's playing in the league today.
Yeah.
But and he would be on that list too. But to watch Matt just kind of go about his business, man, it's really cool to just see him just go about his business day to day. You know what I mean? Just steady as they come. Every time you watch this kid, he's just super, super steady. And that's, I think he's been the anchor. We talked about this earlier. He's been the anchor of the group, the entire group.
He has. No, he totally has. He totally has. One thing before we get to wrapping up the podcast for today, I just want to give you this stat from their game against Wyoming, and you tell me what this tells you. It's from Mark Ziegler of San Diego Union Tribune. He said they shot 60.7% overall, 47.8% from the arc. 21 of their 34 baskets were assisted, and a season low 8 turnovers meant they finished with a through the roof 1.485 points per possession. So that's a telling stat right there. That's an offense that's working.
Listen, and that's a team that's going to get, the opposing team is going to get a whipping. You know, I don't really care how you defend or what you do. You could say there's this misconception that you can play defense and win just based on the defense, right? That is not a real thing, right? You can get a few more stops, but the way to really stop people is to demoralize them, right? And anytime in basketball, the best way to demoralize somebody is to just keep scoring.
1.485 points per possession.
So basically a point and a half every time they get the ball. Every time you score is 2 points, right? They getting a point and a half every time they touch the ball. That is really, really impressive, man, and hard to stop, right? You're going to beat anybody. Hard. You know, you're going to beat anybody at that rate. And you're going to, and with that being said too, you're going to score 80, 90 points a night.
Well, they have been doing that, and so let's see if they can keep doing that tonight against San Jose State. They're playing at home. The game starts at 8 p.m., and it's on FS1, which is nice because CBS Sports Network has blacked out everything on my cable provider unless I buy a new sports package. So this is not the first time people who know me are hearing about this, because I have been very angry about this all season long. I refuse to pay an extra $20 to get CBS Sports Network on a sports package. Okay, done. But yes, they play San Jose State coming up on Monday and Wednesday, and then they have a week off, and then things get real again with Fresno State and then Boise State. So we're just happy that the Aztecs are still playing meaningful basketball, because we could be the New Mexico Lobos Believe team, and that wouldn't be fun. So I'm sorry if there are New Mexico Lobo Believe teams out there, but if you guys want to hit us up and come on our podcast, let's talk, because I don't want to slight you at all, but right. That's what we have coming up here for the Believe Aztecs Hoops podcast. We'll be back with you next week. Anything you want to say before we head out, Randy?
Yeah, I'm willing to slight you anytime you're one and whatever.
11 or yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you stink, right? New Mexico, yeah. You currently stink, right? And somebody needs to tell you that. So if you want to come on here and talk about it, we can. But there ain't a whole lot of conversation.
I love that because I'm not willing to talk trash because I've never played basketball at a high level in my life. So I'll leave that up to you. That's why we're good partners here, is that you can trash talk and I can just be like, yeah, keep going. But yeah, so we'll be back next week. I'm Matt Scraby. That's Randy Holcomb. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Matt Scraby. You can find Randy at Alfred's House on those platforms. And we'll be back next week with another episode of the Believe Aztecs Basketball Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.